Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We are studying the book of Revelation. In this session, we are considering Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 to 21. Let's read that passage. Revelation chapter 9, beginning with verse 13. I've titled this session, A Flood of Death. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horsemen were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which come out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Normally, the golden altar of incense is a place of prayer. Now, it's a source for a cry of vengeance. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Notice the sequence of communication from the altar to the trumpet angel, from the trumpet angel to the four evil angels. Scripture never refers to holy angels as bound. Notice the timing of the execution in verse 15. Who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year? And then notice the ordination of the plan. Who had been prepared were released. Don't miss the truth here that Satan can do nothing without permission. There's a comforting thought right there. By the way, listen, the death is mounting. The pale rider killed 1/4 of the earth's population. Now 1/3 of those left equals another 1/4, which makes it 1/2 of earth's people at the start of the tribulation are gone. And that beginning number was already minus the raptured church. How did those four evil angels accomplish the killing? Well, it could be human soldiers, but it most probably is a force of demons. Verse 16 says that it was 200 million horsemen. In John's day, the world did not even have that many people. In the year 2000, China's population was over 1.35 billion. One soldier for every 7,000 people is close to 200 million. An army of that size is almost twice as many as all the troops of the Axis and the Allies during World War II. China and her allies could easily form such a force, but how would they get across the Euphrates River? Well, that's not a problem. Look at chapter 16, verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. What a sight this army makes. Their bright red, blue, and yellow uniforms. Verses 17 to 19 describe their horses. Weapons straight out of hell. Heads of lions blowing fire, smoke, and brimstone. Plagues. The tails like serpents with heads able to do harm. Both ends were dangerous. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. It's a good guess that John saw modern tanks. But if demons, this is not necessary. Verses 20 and 21 are two of the most amazing in the narrative. No repentance, even after all that destruction. Verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Wouldn't the survivors become religious? Yes, but they begin to worship Satan. That's verse 20. The devil finally receives the open worship he's desired. Do you notice anything strange about these two verses? The people have a religion without any change in their lives. They're kind of like some Christians today. I mean, consider for a moment the four sins of verse 21 in the context of today's world. The first one, murder. Capital punishment has been largely abolished. And killing is totally out of control. Sorceries, the second one. Witchcraft and drugs go together as the conditioning of mind and emotions is necessary to become receptive to the occult. The third one, sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage is the cultural norm and the result of the breakdown of the family unit. No fear of God and no restraints on lust. Basically, people acting like animals. And the fourth one, thefts. Laws not enforced to the point of a complete loss of respect for authority. Greed has people blatantly feeding on each other. It's an image of hell on earth. Yet, listen, only a glimpse of the real thing. A place of fire and smoke, of pain and suffering, of tears and sorrows, of torment with no relief. A place of agony. You want to see this? When Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. There was, in verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, that they also, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. This is real. Jesus does not introduce it with a the kingdom of heaven is like statement. Hell is not a place of many sinners having a party. Still, God is compassionate. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Vance Havner wrote, the real test of how much we believe of the prophetic truth is what we are doing to warn men to flee from the wrath to come. You have a great day.